Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the third month, the 25th day in the year 2023. This is a feast day of the Annunciation of our Blessed Mother Mary, which is the Incarnation when Christ became man in her womb. And the angel Gabriel sent her the message. And so we say, and I was talking to Phil, that this is the greatest miracle. Now, people would say the Passion was because it redeemed us. Mm-hmm. But I say it's the greatest miracle because even if we didn't sin at all, God's ultimate goal was to have a mother and to have Mary to be his mother and to come to live among men on earth. That was his ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. And it was his will was that men should never sin. Yeah. Of course, he knew they would, but he didn't want it to happen. So his initial plan, if everything worked out and men used his free will the right way, we never sinned, he would have took on Mary as his mother, and he would have came into an earth that would the whole earth would have accepted him. It would have been great. Can you imagine that? All mankind never sinned, never knew a sin, all pure. God says, I'm now going to come down on earth, you know, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mother, and I'm going to dwell among you as God and man, and rule you directly with Mary, me as the king and Mary as the queen. So that was planned to happen, even if man never sinned. So then you can make the argument, like after man has sinned, the greatest miracle will be the Passion, because without that, we're not saved. But so you can argue about that. See, our brain is a heretic. He didn't say the Passion was the greatest miracle, and that, I mean, since the fall, that was a Passion, you know, miracle. And what made that Passion so much a miracle-y great was that it was the suffering he had to go through to redeem us and to bring sanctifying grace. But when you think about it, if we never sinned, we would have remained in sanctifying grace. We would have been pure, like Adam and Eve was created pure. There would have been no need for Christ to die and suffer for our sins to be remitted, because we wouldn't have had any sins. Which brings me to another thought. I think about this occasionally. When the devil puts stupid thoughts in your own mind, or dumb thoughts, and the devil's talking to you, some crap, and you say, get away, Satan, get out of here, it's stupid. And I go, you know, look at us, you know, and then you think about your own past sins, you know, sins that I've committed in my past. It's like, and you go, oh, yeah, I wish I never knew. And what I say to God is, I wish we never sinned. I wish Adam and Eve and mankind never sinned. And then we won't even know what sin is. Like somebody will come up and say, and you go, what's that? I don't even know it. What's a sin? I mean, and I think about infants that are baptized into the Catholic Church and they die before they use their reason and they never had to live and have knowledge of sin. I mean, that's a special kind of purity in itself. But I thought, like, it would be nice if you go to heaven and you could just sort of forget it all, you know? It doesn't happen, though, because it did happen. But you don't forget it. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, if you go to heaven, and then you won't even know what's sin. What's that, you know? But you're always going to remember, because it's something we did. It's not going to bear down on you in any way. You're going to thank God for his mercy. It's going to be like just a bad memory, but not even something that's going to aggravate you. But I mean, my whole thought just was, imagine what it's like to not even know what a sin is, because no one ever sinned. And that was God's original plan for man, you know? And the we're talking about the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, St. Anne, you know, I don't believe St. Joseph ever committed a mortal sin, maybe not even a venial sin, but at least not a mortal sin, or else he would have never been chosen. So you have a few saints. Now Moses sinned. David, King David sinned. Yeah. I was talking to Ronnie, Willie LaDale. Some of your strongest men fell by women.
Or Samson.
Samson fell by woman. David by Bathsheba. But, so if it wasn't for God's mercy, you know, I mean, there's only very few people that didn't sin. But even they were living in a sinful world, so Joseph knew what sin was, of course. You're living in a sinful world. But anyway, the Incarnation, which I wrote in my book on Mary, God's greatest masterpiece of Lucifer's fall, that was the whole reason why Lucifer rebelled against God. Because when he was created perfect, it's in the scriptures, he was created perfect in all his ways and beautiful, and was the most beautiful of all angels, probably the most beautiful of all God's creatures, because Mary wasn't created yet. So he was like the most beautiful. And then God told him that I'm going to make a human being. It's not going to be an angel, it's going to be a human being. Mary, she's going to be my mother, And she's going to be the greatest creature I'm ever going to have. And she's going to be the queen of heaven and angels and saints. She's second only to God. And then Lucifer wanted to be second only to God. So that his envy and a direct attack wasn't directly against God, but it's God's choice of Mary. Which, because he didn't obey God, he's also attacking God. So what was his sin? Jealous. Jealousy and envy. And disobedience.
Pride.
Yeah, pride. That's the root of jealousy and envy, pride. It is. You're right. Because you want to be. That's the scholastic thing. I want to be smarter than the other guy. You know, Aquinas came out with this theory. Wow, it's a pretty good one. Oh, I think I got a better one. Bonaventure, apostate Bonaventure. I'll come up with a better one. Then Antoninus, I'm going to come up with a better theory. Yours is good, not as good as mine. Yours is good, not as good as mine. And when you try to perfect the truth, you ruin it. A truth is a truth. That's it. It ends. It stops. There's nothing greater than a particular truth on any particular thing. It ends there. You try to make it greater or lesser, you really destroy the truth. There's nothing left to it. So this is Lucifer's, this pride. And the, you know how the Protestants manifest this pride? But they don't accept the hierarchy. They don't want to obey a hierarchy. I mean, you take a look at the family, right? Too long ago, maybe 50 years ago, we had some semblance of a family. The father was the head of the family. The wife obeyed the husband. And the children obeyed the parents. And the parents was the God figure. The father was the God figure in the family. And also you have the hierarchy of obedience. But the Protestants, they don't want to obey anybody. It's Lucifer. I'm not going to obey any man. And you hear this with these patriarch people, democracy is probably one of the most evilest things that, and the Greeks invented that. Yeah. Go figure, right? No wonder, right? Philosophy and democracy go hand in hand. Because philosophy doesn't have any infallible truth. They don't have no infallible magisterium. Philosophy allows man, I can think and believe whatever I want, and nobody can tell me what the absolute truth is, and it goes hand in hand with democracy. No one's, I am my own boss. No one can tell me what to do and rule over me and give me dictates. You know, we can elect people and all that, but see, that never really works anyway. But the mentality, and that came into the Protestant mentality, these Protestants at least that don't have any hierarchy. The Protestants have no hierarchy, and they have no bishops, and they have no popes. And even the ones that have hierarchies have a hierarchy in which they share the ruling. There's no one man ruling. So they have a couple different guys ruling. They just hate the whole idea of obeying God, and they all want to be numero uno. So what do they say? If it's like Lucifer saying this, if I can't be number one, and you want Mary to be number one, well, I don't like that, okay? But I'll make a deal with you, God. Let us all be equal, so there's nobody who's number one except for you. Everyone else, no one else bosses us around but you, and we're all equal. So he's trying to make a deal with God,
yeah,
and dummy down his hierarchy, dummy down his choice of his servants, so that they're all equal, which is stupid anyway. You can't even run a business like that. I always say that when you're in a business, people got bosses. Even these liberals know that who have democracy. And boy, they're real bossy too. You want to talk about real tyrants? A liberal who preaches against monarchy and against dictators, and they all democracy, freedom of speech, we're all equal. They're the biggest dictators and tyrants. Dictators is not dictators is a good word. A monarch dictates, or you take dictation. You know, imagine you got someone here and I just think it's silly, like when they didn't have computers. And, hey, I want you to dictate this. You want me to what? Are you dictating to me? No, no, no. Okay, just write it down for me. Please, with the cherry on top. You know, I'm dictating to you. But they're tyrants. So this is what happened. I mean, you could imagine. This day we're celebrating when God became man in the womb of Mary. And I tell you, you can imagine Immaculate, when Mary was conceived, I mean, it began then.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew. Yeah. Lucifer, no, he knows. Because God foretold all of this. And he sees it. You know, remember when Christ, when he says, and they know he's the Christ. I mean, it just drives him crazy, don't you? You just hate the blessed one. We love her, you hate her. We love her, you hate her, you stupid jerk. And she's God's greatest creature, the most powerful of all of God's creatures, who steps on your head through our prayers and probably even comes down from heaven. There's a couple stepping on your head. And that's what you get for all eternity. because you wanted to be number one. Mm-hmm. Well, he still would have had all these beautiful qualities that he had and totally happy. Only Mary would have been above him. You know, what's the big beef? You say people, everybody, when you go to heaven, you are where you belong. And here's what I mean. Like, okay, not everybody was born to be a brain surgeon, you know? Some people are born to be brain surgeons, and they're really good at it. It's really complicated, or nuclear scientists. Some people like to just do carpentry work. It's a lesser vocation, doesn't take as much, maybe it's not as prestigious, but they like it. They don't want to be a brain surgeon. They don't want to be a nuclear scientist. They want to be a basketball player, maybe a baseball player. They want to be a carpenter, you know? So everyone, and they're happy that way. When you try to make somebody something they're not going to be happy. What are they trying to do today? They're trying to make women into men and men into women. That's heresy.
Yeah.
And no woman will ever be happy that tries to be a man. And no man that tries to be a woman will ever be happy. Never. It's totally against the natural law. It's totally against the inner makeup of a man that got a man and a woman, what they were made to be. And they're fighting against the natural law. It's like they're destroying themselves. The very essence of what you were created to be and how you were to operate, you're going against. And that's why when you look at modern art, it reflects in modern art, when you look at a blob on a canvas and they go, that's an apple, or right? I said, that's a blob. I don't know what the heck that is. They distort reality. And, you know, I'd like to have them eat a blob, you know? A piece of crap, you know? Here's a piece of crap as opposed to an apple, all right? You guys like ugliness? You should eat ugliness. Yeah. Oh, but I bet you they don't eat ugliness. They want to have the nice, fine food, right? But they disrupt reality. But when you understand how powerful and important Mary is, yeah. You understand how powerful? And that's why God allows her to put the kibosh on them. Yeah. Remember in Apocalypse, the woman with the 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles surrounding Mary. And he's going to allow her to do the, like, I believe that firmly. You know, I mean, Jesus really is the one that ultimately crushes his head by the redemption and his death on the cross. But Mary's the one who he allows to, I mean, because he had just, I could just, I mean, he hates Mary more than God. You know, if God, and I'm sure God goes down to hell every now and then, and angels and saints, and they bust them up a little bit, you know, maybe tell them, you get over here, you do that, you stop this, you know. But when they look at Mary, it's like even worse. It's even worse, because he's saying, it's like, you're a creature like me, and you're bossing me around. It's like when you have parents, right? And you have like seven kids in the family, like in Joseph, and you make one kid the head of the family. Well, they always obey Jacob, the father. But you're going to make my brother over me? He's a brother and I'm a brother. You're my father, you know? Mary's a creature, I'm a creature. You're going to put her over me? Okay, so then what happens, Lucifer? You want to be number one? Then what about Michael? He could have came out and said, I want to be number one. But why did Michael obey God? Because he was humble. He accepted the way God, and loved the way God created him. Glorified God in the way he was made. And accepted whatever God's will was for him. All Michael wanted to do was to love and be with God, no matter what God said. And thanksgiving for the way he made him. And if that means he's got to be second to Mary, then he's second to Mary. If that means he has to be second to third to Joseph is over him, then Joseph is over him. He doesn't care. Because it's God's plan. He doesn't have that pride. He doesn't have that envy and that jealousy. And, I mean, Lucifer would have been everything that he was, minus the fact that Mary's greater than him. You know, the buck has to stop somewhere with greatness, right? With creatures and with God. It ultimately stops with God.
It's actually also loving yourself, because if you're jealous and envious of somebody else, that means you don't like yourself because you're not like them.
Yeah, you don't love yourself. Very good point. Well, that's exactly right. Because then he's saying, I don't really, and you know, you could say about Lucifer, well, you know, you loved yourself the day before I told you Mary was going to be above you. You loved yourself. And now you don't really love yourself anymore. You want to be greater than you were. But you were happy the other day. Now I told you Mary's going to be greater than you. I'm not going to take any greatness from you, but she's going to be greater. And now you're not happy anymore. And you're right, like Sister Laura said, he didn't even love himself then. Mm-hmm. He didn't even love himself anymore. Because he wanted to be someone else. He wanted to be more than what God made him to be. That's almost like a cat wanting to be a human. Yeah. Or a dog. You know, you got your pets. A dog is happiest being a dog. God made him a dog. He's happy as a little doggy, right? He's got his own great qualities. He's happy, and that's it. You know, if you ask the dog, do you want to be a human? He says, no, thank you. I'm doing fine as I am, okay? You guys are messing things up pretty bad anyway. No. But, I mean, it's you don't even think about that, you know? But the same thing with this whole hierarchy thing. And the Protestants' lack of devotion to Mary, it's all Lucifer.
Yeah.
It's all Lucifer. No hierarchy. No devotion to Mary. And the worst Protestants say that Mary was just another woman. And how do we answer that when they tell us that? What do I say to them?
Jezebel.
Yeah. I say, oh, okay. Mary's just like any other woman? Well, God have come into the womb of Jezebel? Oh, well, not Jezebel. She's like really evil. Okay, so like maybe somebody who's not a little evil? No, no. He would have came into somebody who's holy. Oh, so when Mary's holy. Yeah, but not as holy as you say. She's as holy as every other woman. But you already told me God makes a choice, right? He's choosing a woman who's going to be holy. And he's God. So, isn't he going to choose the holiest woman? 2 + 2 = 4, you knuckleheads. You know, you wonder why the world's all messed up. And it deserves it. And now you got the nominal Catholics on top of it that are worse than even the Protestants. And they were starting their crap in the Renaissance era. The whole world is in the grip of the devil. As our Lord told us, how many times did he tell us? Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man come, think he find faith on earth? Matthew 24, the coming of the Son of Man will be like in the days of Noah. They will be eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day which Noah entered the ark, and they all knew not, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be as in the days of Noah. So few.
You know, we say that, will he find faith on earth? But you've got to really stop and contemplate that for a while and realize what a powerful statement that is. That tells us everything we want to know about now.
Right. And you know what? The brothers in Ireland, all four of them, or three or two of them, or how many, proved that, didn't they? They protested the St. Patrick's Day, so-called St. Patrick's parade in Dublin, which for the first time they had trannies and homos. And we didn't realize it until afterwards, but they had UFOs, they had devils, and they had mythological creatures, and they had like the goofiest, immoral stuff, nothing about Saint. They had a big, gorgeous, blasphemous-looking guy playing St. Patrick next to a paganist woman. This is the St. Patrick Day in Dublin. 450,000 people went to that parade. And there was only two people protesting it, Brother TJ and Brother Dermot. Brother T.J. Delaney and Brother Dermot Fagan were the only two protesting. Man. Out of 450,000 people. Yeah. Now, when you look at the tape that he has, I'm going to post it up, you're going to see a lot, most of the people, when the tranny went by and all that, they're clapping. Yeah. They're happy. They were angry at T.J. Because you're saying abomination, you know, what do you call evil good? The wages of sin are death, and they're walking around with signs, and they're looking at them like they're crazy.
I know.
This is just Ireland we're talking about. So you think that where's the rest of the people in Ireland? What's going on? 2 out of 450,000 people? You're a gambling. Oh, you gamble? I don't know. Whoever gambles. You don't need to gamble to understand what I'm talking about. You can be a scientist. Figure the percentages out of that. And what disgusted me was most of the people, they were clapping. You know, you like to go up and go, what are you clapping at? Are you a homo? Well, not a homo, but it's a neat looking thing. I like the costumes and the colors. Are you trans? No, I'm not transgender, but it's just a funny little jokey kind of a thing. It's not fun. I mean, like, you got two kinds of people. You got the guy that's doing a homo thing, that's proud of it. No. He's the worst guy. The one who's ashamed of it, and I don't even call him so much a homo, which he says he's ashamed. He knows it's wrong, but he's doing it, but then you got the people that don't do it at all, but they promote it and support it. And like St. Paul said in Romans 1:32, not only those who do these things are worthy of death, but those who consent to them that do them are worthy of death. So, you're talking about all those people that may not be homos or transgenders that are clapping at that thing. You're a homo, you're a transgender, because you're supporting it. You shall equally in their guilt by sins of association and sins of commission. Because you're saying it's okay.
No.
When you say homosexuality is okay, that's heresy. Yeah.
You know, we went up to Albuquerque for the doctor. Laura happened to get an Albuquerque Journal. And we don't ever get an Albuquerque Journal. I haven't seen one for 20 years.
Yeah. Found it on the bathroom floor.
And
I used to deliver that paper.
Oh, that was the one you
did? Yeah. Up in northern New Mexico.
Well, the point
was, paper
was
boy.
That the
big shot. Paper.
Archbishop was talking about the settlement, $100 and some million that they got for all the, you know, pedophile priests. Because they say the ones that were accused were 80 of them. And there was like 30 guys or something like that. They had lawsuits. So they're settling all these lawsuits, you know, with this.
Yeah.
And that's what you know about.
Yeah, I know. Nick made that point.
That's the thing, exactly.
You know? They're forced maybe to report that.
They said it was one
but
of the biggest
way problems. Bigger than that. Way bigger. You don't get into the seminary today, I think, unless you are a homo. Maybe a couple years ago, you at least had to support homos, and you didn't have to be a homo, but you have to say to each his own. I'm not one, but I'm not going to judge. But now, I don't think they're, you know, they definitely don't let anybody in who's anti-homo. Yeah. So they're all, you know, and let me tell you something. When you accept, even though you might not be a homo, but you say, oh, to each his own, I'm not going to judge him, and you go into the seminary with that attitude, you're going to become a homo. Yeah. God's going to pull his grace away, and you're going to become a homo. One of the seminaries are going to sneak into your room at night, and you're done. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. Because when God pulls his grace away, it's a scary thing for any of us. Mm-hmm. If God pulled his grace away from any of us right now, all his grace is to keep us chaste, we'll be like the biggest, filthiest slobs in the world. But from one second to the next.
That's what he said he did to Pharaoh.
That's right.
His grace away.
When he pulls his grace away, that kind of a grace, that's pretty. God even gives, he gives grace to all men, assisting grace is so that they should obey the natural law, so they should be chaste, they should not steal, they should not murder, they should not commit adultery. He gives these assisting graces. That's why there are people out there, you have to be Catholic to have that grace. But when that grace is pulled away from you, you're like a whole other person. Like a whole other person. All these passions come upon you, and you're done for. And
you deserve it.
Yeah. And getting back to Lucifer, though, as we were talking about his he coveted Mary. Mm-hmm. He envied Mary. He was jealous of Mary because of pride. And the last two commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, mm-hmm. and they shall not covet thy neighbor's possessions. The biggest thing that St. Augustine said about adultery and why that's such a horrible, grievous sin of impurity. It's not like just two unmarried people going together, which is still a sin if you're having relations, sexual relations as unmarried, but there's more going on there. You're stealing someone's wife, and it's infidelity on the wife's part, and it's denigration. It's denigration. It's an act of violence against the married, the husband, or if it's the other way around, if the husband's doing it, it's an act of violence against his wife. And you look down on them like worms and go, I got your wife, buddy boy. And the people, like some people do that, they only want to go with married women so they can say, I conquered.
Yeah.
I'm better than your husband. That's Lucifer. I'm better than Mary. I'm the greatest. I'm number one. I want to take your top prize and make her mine. And then and at the same time, he's dragging the woman down into the dark too. He's just using her to exalt himself. Now, some cases of adultery may not seem like that. But that's all what it is. And the same Augustine only wrote about it, though he said, the sin of infidelity is behind that. I mean, it's an act of treachery. It's an act of hatred towards your spouse, of spitting on them, mocking them, putting them down. It's a horrible thing. This is, and that's coveting, and you covet your neighbor's possessions too. He gets a nice car, and you have a little stinky car, and you want to have his car. And then you're all miserable. Who's that one guy in the Bible that was miserable because he couldn't get the field? Right? Elias and Jezebel again, wasn't it? And who? Ahab. He wanted to have the field next to his. He wanted to, because he liked it more than his field. But they had private property too, by the way. We're not against God that supports private property. The king couldn't even take it. So what did Jezebel do? The king went home and he was all miserable and he wouldn't eat. And she saw he was almost, because he couldn't get the property. It's not yours. Look at even David when he sinned. He can have any woman he wants. He picked a married woman instead. So what happened was Jezebel went and killed the guy and then by stealth took over the field. So this covetousness, it never stops, you know. If you think about it too, like with rich people, right? I was told you, the woman who judges the love of her husband or her boyfriend by the size of the ring. So if you're a poor person, you get her a little ring, and she goes, and then your neighbor gets a nice rock about this big, and she goes, look what my boyfriend gave me. Oh, you only got that little thing? Oh, he don't love you too much. No, he's poor. We don't have a lot of money. Nah, look at this. Then she goes home to her husband and goes, dear, can we, take a loan out from Jaime the Jew so I can get a bigger rock? Because I feel really bad. They look at me like you don't love me because I got a small diamond. So then a lady with the diamond that's kind of big, she has a neighbor who's richer than her. And her diamond is like this. It's even bigger than hers. And then she goes, look at the rock I got. My husband loves me more than you. And it goes on and on and on until you have this 100-pound rock on her hand walking around like this. I got the biggest diamond in them all! Like, where does it end? Where does it end? Jealous and envy. It's the intention that counts, the motivation that counts, the love, the heart. But this is the way people are. That's why God put that in there, you know? I think even the two of the apostles were sort of coveting their positions in heaven. When they said, can my son sit on your right and left hand? Yeah. So there's a little, we have this, even the greatest saints, I used to talk, except for very few, you know, I think I don't believe ever committed a mortal sin were like the immediate Holy Family, you know, Joseph, Joachim, St. Anne, St. Zachary, St. Elizabeth. I don't think they ever committed mortal sins. There are a few people like that. But when you read the scriptures, even some of the greatest saints committed some, even David. But it shows God's mercy. David committed adultery and murder, and God forgave him. Because he had a penitent heart. But you know why Lucifer didn't get a second chance? The devils never got a second chance because they had the vision of God. They were in the beatific vision. We never had it. We were tested first before we were allowed to even enter into a beatific vision. So we were tested. They had it. There was no one tempting them. We had mankind. Lucifer tempting us, tempted Eve. And because of that temptation, and she fell for it, it wasn't as bad as them who had no temptation and fell. So they were not given a second chance. That was it for them. And most human beings go to hell anyway. Even though we are given a second chance, even most humans end up going to hell because they abuse their free will. That's the one thing that belongs uniquely to you. Brother Bruce told me once, it was a great statement Bruce made. He said, there's one thing that belongs to you, and not even to God, your heart, your free will. Because if God had control over your free will, it wouldn't be free. It would be God's will, not your will. And everyone would be saved. And you're like a robot, really. There's no free will involved there. Free will is something God gave us, which is uniquely, you make your choices and you determine. You know, without God's grace, you can't do anything good. So you need his grace. But you need to cooperate with that grace. God gives the same grace to... that one verse in the, I like this verse that we have. It says, it was in the book of Acts. He says, and he preached, many believed, but some believed not. It's in the book of Acts. When Paul was preaching to somebody, he said, and Paul was preaching in such a place, and it says, many believed, but some believed not.
Acts 28:23-24. When they had appointed him, St. Paul, a day, there came very many to him unto his lodgings, to whom he expounded, testifying the kingdom of God, and persuading them concerning Jesus out of the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things that were said, but some believed not.
I love that verse, because Paul is preaching to a whole group of people at one time, and God wants all men to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 3-4, God wills for all men to be saved, wants all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. So Paul's preaching to all these people. God's given them the same grace to believe, because God wants them to believe. God wants them to believe, same grace. Some believe, and some believe not. So where's the defect?
The will.
The free will.
Free will.
That's the defect. That's the defect. These guys who didn't believe used their free will to rebel and not obey. These guys used their free will to believe and obey. Free will. And if you take away free will, then you're not really yourself. You're not even, that's not harvest. What that one, the devotion where it destroys free will? Yeah. Then it's not really free will is what I'm getting at. You're not a unique personality. You're just like an extension of God operating in you, but you're not even yourself anymore. But it's not free will. But they have that one false devotion. What's it called? The Divine Mercy?
Tony Kirby.
Tony Kirby, that bum.
Yeah.
What an apostate freak he is. He's a disappointment, too. Because in the beginning, he seemed to be zealous, but he's another story. But who was her name? Picaretta?
South America.
Yeah, here's another one of your false Marys.
Yeah.
And false devotions. I think it was called the Divine Will.
The Divine Will. Yeah. Yep.
And what they teach is that to be perfect, you have to give Christ your whole will, so you abolish your will, so you no longer have a will, but it's Christ in you working. Yeah. So that when you're brushing your teeth, it's not you brushing your teeth, it's Christ brushing his teeth. Your teeth. Christ brushing your teeth. Yeah. I mean, do I need to say any more for people who believe in crap like that? You know what I mean? Attila the Hun, the Vikings, the pagan Vikings will spit on your face. Yeah. Really. The only people that will believe that are the philosophers. Yeah. That's a philosophy thing. You know, that's like a Greek philosophy, a cat is a dog kind of shit. I mean, that is crazy. Then you got the Manichaeans, and they believe no matter what you do, even the God made you, created evil. So you got all kinds of craziness out there. But anyway, that, you know, I mean, the greatness of this, of today, the devil hates this. The Bible, you don't like it, do you? Tough. God's forcing you to listen to it, isn't it? And you got to listen to everything I'm saying right now. You can't stand it. You want to get back at the devil? Speak like I am right now. Like Catholics. Well, just preach the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. That's how you get back at the devil. Prayers and faith. He hates it. You know, too, in your dreams sometimes when you have the strength and power to get up and invoke the name of Jesus, when you're being attacked in your dreams by damned human beings and devils, and you do. Devils and damned human beings attack you in your dreams. And you go back and you say, invoke the name of Jesus. And they run. Yeah, they go crazy.
It is beautiful to watch how prayer can chase away the evil.
Oh, yeah.
You know that it's a real thing.
That's right.
When you know you're being tempted by something,
and then
prayer
it's gone.
Chases that away.
That's right. And it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean,
how else would you explain it?
That's what I say. Through experience, and the closer, when you get to God, then you know Him, it's like, just like that. The reality of His grace, the reality of how He protects us, the reality of how even you start to dip a little bit, you know? Instead of going to psychiatrists and taking psycho pills, pray to St. Jude. We have St. Jude to keep us from going into depression or from going into any type of despair. And sometimes God always lets all of us dip just a little bit. And if you feel yourself dipping a little bit and doubting, pray to St. Jude right away. And all of a sudden, within like 3 minutes, maybe a minute, it's gone. It's gone. It's like it was just a bad thought. The devil put it, get out of here, you dirty bastard. You know, you don't want to take it for granted either, because you got to thank God for that. Because if God didn't answer that prayer, you start dipping more and more and more. And this is predicated on the people. See, the people don't believe there's a devil, don't believe in God, don't believe in the devil. They're the biggest idiots in the world. Mm-hmm. That's why they develop all this mental illness. Mental illness, I agree, does exist, but it's demonic possession and obsession. That's where mental illness comes from. You can treat the physical effects of it on a person, but you can never spiritually cure them. Only God could, by casting the demons out of you and the devils, and by His faith. And this is why they keep, at best what they're doing is just drugging up these people, and it's like tying up a madman in chains, but he's still mad. He's just trying to get out. And these drugs dumb you up like a lobotomy, and you just sit there like this, but you're still messed up. And that's why the drugs make it even harder for them to repent, because you need to have your conscious will to consent to God. You have to consent to an exorcist. You've got to want it yourself or it's not going to work.
Yeah. What did God do, that man that, you know, was just ferocious to everybody, and he expelled all the evil out of him, and then he wanted to follow Christ.
Yeah.
Just like that.
He was going nuts. He's bouncing off the walls. It shows in the Jesus Christ movie. And you go, Satan, leave that man right now. Fango! Then the guy's peaceful and sane.
Oh, my God. in my mind. The demon has always tried to throw him into fire and into water to destroy him. If you could do anything, have mercy. Help my poor thing.
Satan! Leave him.
My son. Praise be the Lord.
It's all right.
That's what it's all about, folks. The more you want to go to psychiatrists and psychologists and take these psycho pills, the more possessed by demons you're going to get. And then you wonder, you know what they try to tell them? Oh, if you weren't taking these pills, you'd be a lot worse. Bullshit. You keep taking those pills, you're never going to get better. That's like the lie about keep going to the Novosoto priest to confession, even though he's not Catholic, because if you don't go to confession, you're going to get worse. Oh, no, I know you're still sinning, but you would have sinned like 10 times instead of 5. How many times did you commit a sin against purity? Oh, 5 times this week. Yeah, but you went to confession. Yeah, yeah. If you didn't, it would have been 10 times. Well, wait a second. Isn't confession supposed to cure you? So it's like zippo, zero, no more sin? You see? If you go to God, there's no more psycho problems. None. And you develop more problems by taking these pills, and if you got rid of one problem, 10 more problems come in your way. Everybody is being punished because instead of serving God, they're rebellious bastards, and they want to have their own way. You want to have your own way? You can't have your own way. It's an illusion. You're either going to serve the devil by default or God by your own will. Now, when you rebel against God, the devil's got you. He can trap you in 1,000 different ways. He can make you think you're free. He can make you think that no one can boss you around, but he's bossing you around. He's in you. He's motivating you. He's driving you. He's dominating you, whether you know it or not. Sometimes it's better with these outward Satanists who know that the devil's dominating them. At least they know what the score is. They know, they gave their allegiance to him. You got these other people, they're fooled like the atheists. And they think that they're independent. The devil's got them like this, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. The devil controls people to one degree or another if they're not in a state of grace. He controls them like robots to one degree or another, some more than others. God's grace intervenes so it doesn't get so overwhelming, but it happens. All right, let's see. So, like I told you, we weren't going to do a lecture today. So, you know.
That's a pretty good non-lecture.
Pretty good non-lecture. Thank you, blessed mother.
Amen.
Mary, our mother. God is my father, and Mary is my mother, and don't anybody tell you any different. Even if you have good parents, you can say, my earthly father and mother are very good, and I love them, and they're very holy and good. But Mary, God is my ultimate father, and Mary is my ultimate mother. And they would agree. And the mother would say, son, I've given your body, but I did not give you your soul. Son, I've given your body, but I did not sanctify your soul. And the Father, too. I've given your body, but I did not create your soul. So, but in my case, I have my own parents. They're in hell, burning forever, presumed. And in their case, I believe, really presumed, where they belong. I get harassed by them sometime in my dreams. Bastards. They were filthy. You know, when you love God, and you know, your only brothers, people are who they, your brothers are those who believe like you believe, who feel like you feel, who think like you think, who act like you think. Those are your real brothers. It has nothing to do with race or the family you're born into. I never liked my family much anyway, and the Lord knows that, even since I was a kid. Bunch of kooks. There was always, one of my maids even, Maylene Randolph, one of our black maids, she said, Richard, you're not like the rest of them. Where'd you come? Your family's crazy. But some families are crazier than others. Sometimes, maybe it's a blessing when your family's crazy, because it's not hard to break away from them. The hardest part is when your family's like the traditionalists, you know? Yeah. They have an outward appearance of holiness, and they're not as crazy. They're harder to break away from, maybe.
All you have to do is realize what your parents think of you.
Well, but even then, if you had the true faith, even if your parents weren't as bad as mine, and you had the true faith and they were Protestants or whatever, and you see how what they believe about Mary and all that, they're disgusting too. You say, hey, God, you're my father, Mary, your mother, I go to you, and I know that you can never fail me. You can never let me down. You can never lie to me. You can never cheat on me. You can never steal from me. You can never unjustly punish me. And you can punish me when I deserve it. And when I don't deserve it, you can reward me. God, Mary, that's it.
And they love you more than any of those other people could.
They love you more than anybody. God loves the most, and the creature who loves the most is Mary. So, I mean, come on. I mean, even if you had good parents, we still have that devotion. You know, and any true parent who's a good Catholic would love you, would even tell you, son, you better love God and Mary more than me.
Yeah,
but if you're envious and jealous,
no.
And people get jealous, you know. When you start turning to God, and the spouses get jealous too, you have one spouse that starts to really love Jesus and the other sort of don't care. Boy, you want to talk about fireworks in the house. He's always talking about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Uh-huh. Well, if there's a choice between Jesus and you, you ain't going to win, you know, if you love Jesus, if you really love God. And that happens in families even. But most of our families, you start talking too much about Christ, then they'll call you a Jesus freak or not. They'll start giving you character assassinations. It's like these freaks in the parade that are walking around purple and pink and blue here, and they got rings through their noses, bones through their noses, rings in their eyeballs, I mean, tattoos all over the place, and they're mugging it up with doing a homo thing. And they're saying that we're weird, that we're weird. It's like, are you crazy? You need a pair of eyeglasses. They don't need eyeglasses. They need a new heart. Like, are you out of your mind? Do you really believe that? I'd like to, if you ever got a hold of these people, you know, it'd be interesting. You get a couple of these freaks all in one room, and you say, I want to take a picture of you, me next to you. Now take a look at that. You tell me something. Do you think you're normal? No, come on. Now, don't lie to me. Tell the truth. No, I'm not normal, and I don't want to be normal. Okay, thank you. You're abnormal. And you want to be abnormal, else you wouldn't do what you're doing. Yeah. You're a freak. You know how they know it, too, even sometimes? Anytime when they walk around, they're embarrassed. Yeah. You see it. Yeah. Even in Walmart, when they walk around, and they have a way. Like they're, and it's sort of like they walk around, and they have an air about them, or a weight. They know.
Yeah.
They know. They can't get it out of. They're walking around. They're living in a contradiction. They're opposing the natural order. They're opposing who God made them, and they know it. That's how much they hate God, though. That's how much they hate God. That's how much they hate rules. They hate laws. They hate God. They hate holiness because they're committing some type of a mortal sin they want to continue to commit. And they can't.
And they hate themselves also.
And they don't. And they hate, of course, they all hate themselves. And they don't want to go to God for help because they want to continue to commit their mortal sin. The first way you start to overcome mortal sin is to really seriously go to God and say, God, I can't stop this. It's impossible. I could not do it on my own. I like it too much. I've been doing it too much. You have to make me hate it. I give you permission, Almighty God, to do whatever you got to do to make me stop because I really don't want to do it. So when I tell you I want to do it, don't listen to me. Mm-hmm. Tie my hands behind my back. Lock my door so I can't go out of the house. Mm-hmm. Do stuff to force me to be chaste. And you got to give God permission. And when you get married, and when you really give God and Mary that permission, within 6 months or so, you're going to be pure. God will clean you up. But to get to that prayer, you have to have faith. You see? A lot of people in the North don't have that faith. They go to confession all the week. They don't have that faith. What are they told in the North Settle confessional? Don't worry, we all sin. You can't stop sinning. Just come to confession. That's what you're told. Imagine that a young kid, we weren't in the church to start with, so none of us were in the church. We had all these kinds of immoralities and unchaste things. And as a young, and the priest is telling you, oh, no, don't worry about it. We all sin. You can't stop sinning, but just come to confession. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Big help. So now you're going in and say, well, I can't stop, so what can I do? It's already hard enough. He didn't say you can stop. You will stop if you want to stop. If you put faith in God, you go to Jesus Christ, you tell him to make you stop sinning. Like I just preached to you now, that's what they need to hear. I can prove it. I guess I was committing all these kinds of sins since I was 40 years old. I'm now 67. For 27 years, not one sin of impurity. Not one. How is that possible if it's not by God's grace? How is that possible if it's not by God and Mary and the angels helping me?
I'm reading from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 8, verse 21. And as I knew that I could not otherwise be continent, except God gave it. And this also is a point of wisdom to know whose gift it was.
I'm a living testimony of that. So when they tell you, priesthoods can't be chased, that's bullcrap. And I'm so happy. You look back and see that unchastity is slavery. The devil owns you. He puts a rope around your private part and pulls you around wherever he wants. And you're a slave to it. And even though you think you get these temporary, you think your pleasures or something, it's a lifetime of hell. You're a slave. And you can see the difference between the two worlds. So don't let anybody lie to you. I want to go back and get every one of them priests that lied to me in the confessional. Drag them up from hell. Mm-hmm. Put their skin back on them. Peel off their flesh and pour vinegar over them. Don't tell that to the Diamond Brothers. They're going to get angry. That's a little too rough for the Diamond Brothers. Richie wants to torture them. And you know what, God, when I say that, you know what God says to me right now? I got him already, Rich. Don't worry about it. And I say to God, yeah, I know you do, Lord, but I'd like to see it. I'd like to do it, too. I'd like to do it. I'd like to pop their chicken neck off and pop their head right off because of what they've done. You understand what kind of a spiritual rape's going on in a confessional when a priest tells you something like that? You talk about physical pedophilia sins. They were raping all of our souls. All of us. They didn't do the pedophilia thing on me, but they were raping my soul. They rape your soul in the confessional. And we all deserved it. Because we're running around with Santa Claus and all this crap. Mm-hmm. Our parents are saying Santa Claus, he knows all things, he can reward and punish. This is a false God. And people sit back and they wonder, why is the world so messed up? Why am I so unhappy? Why do I got to take a pill to sleep, a pill to get awake, a pill to feel normal, a pill not to be angry, a pill when I'm too happy so I don't get too happy, and I take a pill for this, a pill for that? And then they twist the normal emotions and make them bad, you know? Do you get overly happy? Well, I get happy sometimes. Overly happy? Yeah, sometimes, depends, you know. Do you get sad sometimes? Yeah, I get sad sometimes. So you get sad sometimes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you get happy sometimes? Yeah, he's bipolar. He's bipolar. Yeah. Mark him down as bipolar. Oh, then the only people that gets off the hook is a stoic. He goes, I don't get sad and I don't get happy. But they got a problem for him. They're going to have something for him. I don't know what you can call it, like robot syndrome.
Yeah.
He's got the robot syndrome. He's got no feelings. This guy's got no feelings. Give him some drugs to help him be happy maybe and sad. And it's like a bug in a microscope. You know, when you look at that mental illness thing we have against the document, what a great job. Yeah. I feel sorry for these kids. The kids are on the computer taking their mental illness test, and each one has something.
Yeah.
What do you, and they're comparing. Yeah. I got two things. What do you got? I got three. I got three things. I'm bipolar, manic depressive, and suicidal. And what are you? Oh, I got four things. I got more than you do. Okay. So what are they're going to give me all these nice drugs. These nice drugs to help me so I can be normal. God is just, And why has he allowed this to the children? I quote OC 4:6, because you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children.
OC 4:6, my people have been silent because they had no knowledge, the faith. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. And thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children.
Because you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children. And the children that are forgotten unto death and damnation is because in God's predestined mind, he knows those kids are evil anyway. Even if they were given a chance or put in a holy home, they would have never been holy, or they would have fell away. God knows that these children are evil.
Isaiah 48:8. For I know that transgressing thou wilt transgress, and I've called thee a transgressor from the womb. Psalm 57:4. The wicked are alienated from the womb. They've gone astray from the womb. They have spoken false things. In Ecclesiasticus 18:10, God has seen the presumption of their heart, that it is wicked, and he hath known their end, that it is evil. And that's before they are born, and before even the world was created.
And he allows it to happen to them. Not all the children that happen are evil. Some come out of it. Some come out of Satanism. Some come out of the worst, horriblest sins that are inflicted upon them, and they repent and convert and save their souls. So some come out. And God, if you have goodwill, ultimately God will not let you stay there. He'll pull you out of it. So God is allowing, what was he allowing to with birds reason on to life? But like Brother Ron used to say a great thing. I like Brother Ron said, mama whore, baby whore.
Ezekiel 16:44, as the mother was, so also is her daughter. Ecclesiasticus 27:10 says, birds resort unto their like. In Amos 3:3, shall two walk together except they be agreed?
So, you brought this affliction upon yourself. But this still, it makes no excuse for the great scandal of these poor kids that are scandalized by this. And they turn away from the whole Catholic Church. You know, and because it's not the true Catholic Church, they think it is. So, the nominal Catholic Church is probably the most evil church in the whole world. More than Protestants. It's a scandal. You say, where do they go? They come to us. How did God pull us out of the world? God did to us a miracle that is even greater than St. Abraham. Am I right, Abraham? Or yeah, you're right, Rich. Yeah. They did a big one with Abraham, too, though. Maybe he did, but I think he did. My argument to that is, Abraham was born into a pagan, idolatrous family. There was no, like, false church. God gave the faith to him. He was the church. He enlightened him with everything. We got to go against the false church that says it's Catholic. He didn't have that contradiction. That's why these final days are, what he did to us, each one of us, it's like a minor Abraham miracle, what he's done here. And if he's done it to us, he can do it to anybody out there. And we say, how do we know that most of, that they, well, the, now we have it. We tell people and they don't want to listen. So God, see, Richard, why I did this to them? See why I did this to all these traditionalists, Saint of the Conscious, heretics, apostates? You see why I did it to the Diamond Brothers and all of these people? You see why I put them in darkness? Because when you showed them the truth, they did not listen. And you showed it to them. It wasn't hidden from them. I didn't have to come and, I got pulled you out of nowhere, but now you got all these teachings and you're laying it on the platter and they reject it. So what's the difference if I showed it to them or I didn't show it to them? They're evil. They're not going to accept it one way or the other. And these last 1,000 years, I really believe it. The world had technically ended. 1,000 years, 1033, it was almost all over. And God said, I'll let it go for another 1,000 years just to show you how evil the devil is and what kind of an empire he can have. But in these last 1,000 years, almost everybody's going to be damned. Except for maybe at the end of time when I bring in some of the Jews, I convert the Jews and some other people in the end time. So it's like God's sitting back and saying, okay, I'll give you another 1,000 years, a few more people are going to come out of it, but this is mostly the time of the devil. You're going to see what kind of an empire he creates and what kind of a dope he is, how stupid he is, how evil he is, how stupid he is, how truly unhappy and unjoyful and unholy and disgusting. He is. And that's why God's so, I mean, look what's going on now. Look at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin, so-called. Two people out of 450,000 people arrested for praising the faggots and the transgenders and the UFOs and the devils and the demons. What kind of a world are we living in? Come on! We tell the people a million times it's not a number game. My brother Will, he said it really great when he was talking to this one Protestant woman. And she goes, well, how many are in your group? And Will said, four more than were on the ark. It's a nice way of putting 12, but we got more than 12 now. We got about like a 13. No. 13! So I'm like, four more than on the ark. She goes, whoa, whoa, yeah, yeah, yeah. How many were in the upper room?
153
or something. But anyway, it's not a numbers game. How many times God says, I love the verse Psalm 13, the Lord looking down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any that understand and seek God. They all gone aside. They've all turned away from me. They are all, not one is good. No, not even so much as one. And Jesus, Luke 18, 8, the Son of Man, come think you find faith. Oh, what are you? Now they got everybody saved. How opposite that is what Jesus said. Yeah. Everyone's saved. Everyone dies, they're in heaven. You know, he's Irish, nominal Catholic Irishman. One of his Irish brothers died in the 9/11. He goes, I went to St. Patrick's Cathedral and I told him, I'm going to go out right now to a pub and I'm going to have a beer for you. Mm-hmm. So we can have a beer together, you know. And it's like he's communicating, like they're all saved, you know. They're all looking down upon you.
And they're even believing if they're not in heaven now, they will be later.
Yeah, yeah. Sooner or later, yeah. That's the universal salvation. Yeah, yeah, we're close back to that again, you know. You're worthy of lies because you believe the father of lies. How many people do we show, like, the evidence on 9/11 and the Holocaust? They see Bill and Seven was even hit by a plane, and it went down. And they go, all men are liars.
Psalm 61:10, but vain are the sons of men. The sons of men are liars in the balances, that by vanity they may together deceive.
That's my five favorite verses. And see, when you deny God, you have to lie. Because when you deny God, that means you're holding on to a lot of untruths, falsehoods, and lies. And so you have to be a very good liar if you want to maintain that particular position. If you don't want to obey God and His commands for whatever reason, you're going to have to lie.
Did I tell you that on Tucker, he mentioned Billy
Seven? He did, yeah. His credit. Tucker's doing a lot of good stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did. He says, what happened to Billy Seven? Yeah. How did that go down? Mm-hmm. Is it conspiracy? He said, how did that go down?
That's big. Right on climate change. He did a real good job.
Oh, he's good, yeah. We got to keep praying for him. He's doing a lot of good work. But see, people, when God starts doing miracles again, it is a wonderful time when people start coming to the truth. And that's why the devil, he can't, the devil hates us. Oh, the devil hates us. Oh, the devil, I want everyone to love me.
Like Finkelstein, do you think I care?
You think I care? You think I care? That's why Finkelstein can tell the truth on that issue, because he doesn't care. He was actually banned from Israel. A Jew that was banned from Israel because he was talking against the illegal occupation of Israel and the treatment of the Palestinians. Finkelstein.
Self-hating Jew.
Yeah, self-hating Jew? I'm a self-hating Jew. I like Yoav Shamir. He said, well, I don't know. I'm a Jew and I like myself. He says, well, I'm a Jew. They called Yoav Shamir a self-hating Jew. He goes, well, I don't know. He says, I'm a Jew. I like myself. Abraham Foxman called him a self-hating Jew. All right, any questions from anybody online? Then we'll wrap this up before we're here till tomorrow. All right, any questions? Questiones? All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.